Let's talk.
All right. Welcome to a brand new podcast called Let's Talk. I am your host, Joshua Simmons, and I moonlight as a city commissioner. And we are going to do a podcast about politics, sports, culture, you name it, just free flowing. And I want to introduce my co-host. Go ahead.
Hey, what up? How do I introduce myself? Gosh, I'm Jermaine, but if you're a friend, you call me BB. I guess I can call myself a tech and business executive. I don't like using the word expert.
You're an entrepreneur, I think.
Entrepreneur, well, you know, I've just been holding executive roles for a while now. So, in the technology space, nonprofit, and environmental space, so.
Oh, yeah, this is going great. We're off to a great start. This is...
I guess you also know your local agitator.
when I told Jermaine, I said, hey, man, let's do a podcast. The first thing this man sent me was the meme of the guys getting arrested with the caption that says, it started with, let's start a podcast. So we're going to try to avoid that. But, you know, listen, man, I want us to sit down. You know, we're good brothers. We're family men. You know, we out in the community, we're out in the world trying to make a difference, but we're more than just like the titles that we hold, right? Like we are still Josh and Jermaine or BB, right? Like I don't call you BB. I don't have a thing with nicknames. Like my dad's name.
It's actually not a nickname. I'm still like, that's actually my name. My last name is BB.
Yeah, it's your last name, James Bond. But what I'm saying is my dad's nickname or his name he preferred people to call him was Knuckles.
Yeah.
I never called him that. I didn't ever call my dad. I called him Richard. That was his name. I don't think I've ever called you BB.
You know what? I think that started coming about more and more that I got tired of like, and shout out to all my white folks. You know, guys, right? But oftentimes when they first meet me, I tell them, hey, I'm Jermaine. And then I get Jerome and Jeremy. Probably like for the first 3 or 4 times of them, you know, coming up to re-greet me.
Hey, Jerome.
Right. Hey, so, you know, I used to just say like, I used to just go for it and correct them later. And they'll say, oh my God, you know what BB is?
Easier.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. And there's not other BBs around. So it just works out.
I get Joseph.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten that too.
Weird. Joseph.
I don't know what it is about Jermaine. It's just, I think people are probably used to it being a last name. So it's like Josiah, Jeremy. Jerome is a big one. Yeah.
I said Jerome and I.
You know, so it's all good.
All right. So let's get into it. All right. Let's talk. What are you currently watching?
Man, I don't even watch that much TV, but man, I'm getting to.
Don't be that guy.
I don't, but I literally try to watch. I can only really have time to watch. Like I would say, commit to one show at a time. I just finished Shogun, which was awesome. Ooh. And then
that's a great show.
Mm-hmm. Blue Samurai was one I finished too.
So another one. Banger.
I'm a big anime guy.
Same.
I'm also like I really love the whole like. Japanese like feudal era,
right? Oh, same. Like, you know, same.
Some of the most greatest warriors in the world, right? Ever to ever live. That was in that era. It was insane. And then I'm now gonna get back into get start though. I think it's the third season of From.
Okay,
which I really love. That show is just nuts. So
From is the one where the people. They have to be out like inside the house before.
Yeah, it's a wild show. They end up, somehow all over the world, people just end up making this wrong left turn or something and end up in this town that they just can't get out of, right? And, you know, that's already bad enough. You're just stuck in this kind of warped dimension where no matter what road you take, you just end up in the center of town. But then also it's like, it all gets really crazy at night, right? Where
you have to be inside. It's a sundown town, but like monsters.
At night. What? So like, but monsters don't look like monsters. They look like people. Right, but they're just walking around town in like these like weird like you know what is it the 60s 70s era clothing, and they're just smiling at you.
Oh, are these people that like never left? I don't know. Are there any spoilers?
We don't know.
Or
we still don't even know what. Ah. You just, all you know is that if you get close to them, they're just gonna rip your face
off.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I watched Shogun, and it definitely deserved all the awards that it got. I thought that was fantastic writing, fantastic scripting, location casting. I ain't gonna lie. At first, I thought it was gonna be one of those like white savior movies. You know, if you don't know that term, and white savior meaning how the hero always tends to be like a white man and all this stuff. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was really centered on the Japanese characters. And
it was.
I love that. Like, it was incredible. And the acting, what's her name? Namiko or Nariko?
Yeah. The acting was definitely great. But I think what it was for me that I loved about it, because oftentimes, I think sometimes it's like really centered around the fighting. I think
it wasn't a lot of fighting.
Right. So what I saw was like understanding like the political landscape and nuances, and then what it was like to like live under these situations and like their mindset of understanding that we are all in this kind of like, whether you're a high ranking samurai general or a total peasant, we are all living under this like, under their lord.
Yeah.
And if things were to go wrong with their lord, you know, your life is...
All of them are wiped out.
Right. Your life of your children, your family can very well be forfeit.
Yeah.
You know, and this can occur from just a simple wrong alignment with an ally.
Yeah.
Or an insult.
Or an insult. Or you speak out of turn.
Right.
You speak out of turn. Now you and the son gotta go.
Well,
which
see...
Was crazy.
That was his fault, though.
It was. He'd be quiet.
No.
Why are you talking?
It wasn't just because he'd be quiet. He offered it
up. Yeah, he did.
I understand your lord was insulted, and so you felt like, you know, to step up.
So why bring the kid in, too?
Right. And then he was just like, yo, you know, as, you know, he realized, yeah, okay, yeah, this was bad. And then he's offered, you know.
I'm going to commit seppuku. And.
As atonement for it, I'm going to slit my stomach open, and I'll cut off my entire line as well. Well, that means that your son.
A little overreach there.
Huge. And I was like, damn, bro. Like, so now you got to kill your son and your son. Like, it was just like, damn.
See, I'm a bit of a movie snob. So, I mean, a movie or a TV show snob. So, for me, it's like the little things, the details. And this may seem very trivial, but I like the fact that, you know, a lot of these times we're watching these like ancient era shows, everybody understands each other. In this one, they really did not understand him. Like, it was really like they were all still speaking Japanese, even though to us they were speaking English. To him, they were speaking Japanese and he was speaking a different language, and they had to have that translator. And so for me, that made it more like legit in terms of like how they're understanding, how these cultures are interacting, you know, them seeing this individual that they don't see a lot of, or hadn't really seen them outside of the Portuguese. Like, I thought that was incredible. But what am I watching real quick? What am I watching? Right now I'm on my anime kick. So I'm watching Shangri-La Frontier. Season 2 of that just came out, but I'm wrapping that up. Blue Lock, which is like, I'm not like a big sports anime guy, but that one turned me into a fan because it's a soccer one, and it's like some of the best animation since like Demon Slayer, to me, is incredible. So definitely check out Blue Lock. The season 1's already out. Season 2 just dropped. I'm excited for that. I am watching a show on HBO Max. It's called, I think, Industry or something like that. Is it Industry?
I think it's all Industry.
Yeah, and it's like these young kids trying to get at this financial firm in England, and it's like it's intense. It's very intense, but it's like they're hustle and bustle of trying to like, you know, grow in this company. So it's intriguing to watch. It's a lot. Definitely can't watch it with the kids.
I definitely want to watch Penguin. I heard that was really good.
Oh, I am watching Penguin. I was getting there. I'm watching Penguin. You know, it's slow, but not slow like in a bad way. I say slow kind of like how the first couple of episodes of Game of Thrones was slow. Like, it was a lot of setup. Just a lot of setup.
I actually like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's enjoying it as the art form that it's meant to be consumed. I have this whole thing about like TV and show. It's an art and you're supposed to consume it in a certain way. You're not supposed to consume it to like start out and like, I'm going to be critical. You're supposed to watch the scene. You're supposed to watch how things are set up. You're supposed to watch the way dialogue is. Like, I mean, Colin Farrell is killing it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching
it. Like, he disappears.
Yeah.
As like the actor, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was always interested in that character. When I watched the movie,
the Batman. You know,
he's a great character, right? Funny thing is, I never was interested in that, the Joker, right? Even though you were saying like the Joker 2 was horrible, right?
Okay.
I that particular one, I don't know
I was cool with there being the one that came out. Like, I was cool with that. Like, I didn't think there needed to be another one.
Even the first one, I was like, I didn't watch it for like, man. Like,
that was a good movie, though.
Yeah, I did. It was a good movie, but initially when it dropped, I wasn't interested in that joke.
Oh, I went to the theaters.
Yeah, I didn't even go to the
theaters. I like Joaquin Phoenix as an actor. He's a good actor.
He is. I wasn't really interested in like
that. But that's not one of the villains that you want to look at.
I grew up, I'm a huge comic book.
Are you a Heath Ledger stan? Like, are you the Heath Ledger Joker?
I'm really into the comics, and I do like the sort of like mysterious nature of how we got the Joker.
Like the crime underbelly. I think they focused, I think, a lot more on like the more flamboyant, expressive criminals when it comes to Batman. But like, what I like about the Batman is that they're doing like the actual criminal world underbelly, like focused on that, kind of like the Gotham show. Did you ever watch that?
No, I did. So like, I liked it all. It was just like, with that particular Joker, I didn't really care for like this Joker backstory of how he became this and all that. Mm. So I wasn't really like, because there's a lot about,
well,
like,
technically they're saying that he actually wasn't the Joker.
Right.
Supposedly. Which you named the movie Joker, but this isn't the Joker. Arthur Fleck was his own person.
Let me just it would make more sense to me if that was the case, because in the comics there is a deliberate like mystery in contradictions about his original story.
The Red Hood gang and all that.
Right, and this was all done very, very deliberately. And then there's a whole... Batman actually goes a lot deeper than you actually know. It's real deep. Like, it's really crazy. But...
Well, speaking of Batman, hold on. I gotta ask this question, because I saw it on social media. You probably saw it too. Yeah. Where it was like, would you want to fight the Powerpuff Girls once a year, or fight Batman, fight Batman like every day for a year?
Every day for a year. I think the fighting the Batman every day probably would be more fun. Because the Powerpuff Girls, that's a lot of...
Bro, they broke into jail to beat Mojo Jojo up and left him leaking in jail.
Just a lot, yeah. There's a lot going on. So I think it would definitely be a real challenge, like mentally, like devising a plan for Batman every single day.
But every day. But I mean, once a year, you that once a year, your heart gonna be beating. You're gonna be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. All right, so what are you watching? That was what we were talking about. There's a lot of TV. I think we're past the golden age of kind of like TV movie stuff. There's a lot out there, a lot to consume. I think there's a bit of a oversaturation, but. I do like just being able to dive into different things. So, yeah, sure. A lot to watch. But we are busy men, so sometimes it's hard. We kind of got to watch it when we can, right? Sometimes we got to binge, and that's it.
I've taken to watching those movies on the plane.
Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah. So, try my best. Like, have it loaded up. All right, when I go on my trip, I'm going to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm taking to watch it on the plane. Before we move off the subject, though, I do need to watch The Starting Five. That came out. That's basketball documentary.
Yeah.
I want to check that out to see what it is.
That's going to be on play and watch.
Yeah. I was hoping, though, because I don't know how far it goes, but I actually want them to do the documentary for the Olympics, because I thought that was incredible. Kind of just how they were able to do that, playing France in France, like in the finals. Like, that was like some good, both of the men's game and the women's game were both great, because they both played France. So. Anyway, all right, so let's move on. We're going to move on to culture. So the culture subject is just kind of talking about Black culture, American culture, just kind of some of the things that's popping up, trending in the news, or just what we see in our area, in our vicinity. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is Big Glow, Glorilla. She dropped her album called Glorious. There's a Kirk Franklin feature on there. There's a T-Pain feature on there. I haven't listened to the album yet because I need to, be able to listen to it, like really listen to it. But I'm excited to listen to it. But I wanted to bring her up because out of all of like the rap girlies that's out there, I feel like promotion-wise, she's doing it the right way. I saw her do an appearance on Jennifer Hudson's show. I seen her, meeting up with influencers who are doing, videos to her songs, like just promoting herself in a real way. She's not just kind of like sitting back and letting it, you know, letting it just sit. She's actually going out of her way to like promote her music, which, and we don't really see, like, we see it, but we don't really see it like in terms of how people, new people are promoting their music. Like, this is almost like back in the day promotion, I think.
Well, I mean, do we not see artists promoting their music, or would you not see like the labels like investing in them, right?
Could be the labels investing in them.
Because, right, because like if anybody really is paying attention to the music industry, and I do, because, you know, I pay attention overall to like business, you know, and so you've seen a huge shakeup and change. Right, a lot of consolidation, right?
Yeah,
where essentially you basically like one or two players now, right? And so and this happened all very, very quickly, right? So what I see is them kind of more going more tech versus the traditional, where it was like artist development and things like that. And I think what you see at Glorilla is like, all right, you actually, we got to actually see an artist get like developed
and like grow. Yeah, right?
And I don't think, you know, a lot of people really have seen that a lot. I mean, so there's probably a lack of appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. So to watch like, okay, like she's like really grown into this, been developed. Her interviews are very mature. She under, you know, she has a very good understanding of like, you know, her craft and what she, what her project and what direction she wanted to even go into.
She could have been a one hit wonder with FNF. That could have been the only thing.
Sure. So I think, you know, to me it shows that, okay, yeah, like whoever your mentors or whoever you're listening to, like you've stayed in the studio. Like you've really worked, you put together a project, you've used your money wisely, mm-hmm. And you know, the powers that be over there realize, okay, you're a good investment now. Mm-hmm. Like we can get you out there. And the lane is a little bit unclogged, right? The City Girls have, you know,
abandoned,
has dispersed.
Cardi B's not making music like that.
You know, Cardi B, I think Cardi B is making music, but the focus hasn't been on her music. It's more been on her marital drama and all those type of things happening with her.
Yeah. Well, she has all her business ventures too. She's somebody that played it right.
Right. Oh, definitely short financially, right? So there's that. So, you know, I think the lane is not really clogged with.
There isn't like one person that's like holding the mantle. Like,
well, I mean,
in women's rap.
And I had to say, you know, I don't like saying this. I mean, are we done with Ice Spice? Is that, you know, because she has it. We haven't heard, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think anybody really, I'm not disrespectful to people, you know,
at all,
pursuing
right?
their dreams. I just don't think people really saw that as like.
You're right. So that kind of, you know, that's not, you know, and there's some great art. So I think her label, you know, realizing, hey, this is the great climate to really push you hard. That was a wise decision, and she's hearing her speak on the radio, I mean, like, she's great. You're actually interested in hearing what she wants to say.
I mean, she has a great personality too, I think, and people, it seems like they like to be around her. But I want to switch gears. We're gonna try to come a little full circle on this next topic, since we're already in music. Should Lil Wayne have been the Super Bowl performance at for the Super Bowl in New Orleans? Should he have been the performer, the halftime performance show?
I would say yes. I just, on the respect and the strength of it, right? I think that conversation with him absolutely should have been had. Now, was Kendrick a bad choice? Nah, man, that was a fantastic choice. He's definitely hot right now. He's a fantastic performer, you know, all that. I don't know. I just don't know how much thought was really given into the impact of, like, you know, in being in New Orleans, you know, saying that, you know, we're going to get a hip hop act and all that could have been done there. So, and again, we don't know in terms of like, I think
we're all speculating, right? We're all just talking, right?
We don't know the politics. And you also don't know, because again, there's been rumors and issues in terms of like, you know, the breakup of the Hot Boys and Cash Money. So we, as a unit, right, in terms of like, you know, what I want to say is we didn't want just Wayne.
Well, I'm going to say, because you got to have Juvenile, bro.
We didn't want it just Wayne.
504 boys. Like, you got to.
We didn't want it just Juvenile, just Lil Wayne.
The Magnolia
right?
clap.
We going to want, you know what I'm saying, the whole thing.
BG.
We wanted,
all of them.
We wanted to go crazy, right? And so. Who knows what could have been going on in the background of that to even, like, is this even possible? You know, who knows? Yeah.
So I feel different, right? I feel like, so I'm a huge, I got to clarify this. Like, I'm a huge Wayne fan. Like, seen him in concert 3 times. Like, you know, when the whole rock star thing was there, I'm walking around with the studded belt. You know what I mean? Like I'm a huge Wayne fan.
Definitely a culture man. And
but I was okay with it not being him for the halftime show. And I say that because even though we all know he is connected to New Orleans, I don't associate him with New Orleans anymore. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't see. I honestly, right now, in this iteration, I associate him with Miami more than I do New Orleans. Like, to be honest with you. Like, to me, like, I just feel like I'm not saying he has to rep NO all day, but just, like, in the way of, like, Dre, you still connect Dre to L.A. You still connect Snoop to L.A. Like, after all these years, I don't connect.
So that's my, well, that's a little bit what was my point I made earlier. I think everybody, we didn't want just Lil Wayne, right? Lil Wayne, absolutely great anchor, right? But we wanted Lil Wayne and Juvie. We wanted the Hot Boy. We wanted, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's what, and then we wanted.
Well, you also can't have Project Chick playing at
Yeah, you can't. I mean, yo, I'm sorry.
Give me a project, man.
Yes, you can't, because.
One that don't give up. Come on, bro, you can't.
Did you not just see Juvie on Tiny Desk?
But yeah, that's Tiny Desk. That's Tiny Desk.
It went crazy.
I loved it.
Right, but it was like.
It almost gave him a new kind of life a little bit in terms of, like, in his artistry in a way. Like, because I saw him release another song with him and Manny Fresh, like a new one.
It was, listen, forget that song. Juvenile catalog alone is massive.
Heck yeah.
Right? And so they could have done a lot. And then they could have also, remember, at one point.
But could Wayne go and share the stage like that where he's not the headliner?
So now we're going to get to. What we don't know, because again, we've only heard issues in the past decade or two about, you know, Cash Money issues, uh-huh. going to jail,
you know, Wayne issues. And Jay-Z beef for a little bit.
So there is a lot of, like, who knows, internal things that could have went. I'm like, hey yo, listen, we don't have the time, or we're not willing to put in the resources necessary to get you guys all satisfied to get on that stage, because, you know, there was reported issues with that the LA one, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like 50 Cent.
Yeah, because originally he wasn't there, and I think M.
Right, so there was rumors.
Pushed for him to be on that.
There was rumors
like
of M saying, hey, either if 50 ain't here, I ain't here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there was that.
It's interesting because y'all don't connect Eminem to LA either, or 50, which is so strange.
But I think.
But that's the there were vibes.
Because that might have been another Dre call still. Like, hey, bro, I'm coming out here, and I gotta have my folks.
Yeah,
M is coming. He was a huge part of my success.
Yeah,
I want, you know what I'm saying. And then on top of that, when you say, okay, well, you also had Snoop Dogg,
but Kendrick also had a spot.
Right, all those spots.
Kendrick had a spot.
So it's hard for me to imagine, like, yo, you know, if you guys really put your mind to it, that you couldn't have got it done to do that for New Orleans. You could have absolutely have done it. There's just so many amazing artists that have come out of New Orleans. I mean, they could have put together something real magical. And I think also there was just this underestimation of Lil Wayne's ability to put on a grand old show.
But okay. Recent videos have not shown that. And you have this moment in one of the world's most watched events, not sporting, not TV, events, period. Yeah. Watched, right? Like, to take that chance. Now, do I think he would have gotten himself together?
100%.
But I believe that. I do believe that. But come on, man, you're a business guy.
I would have, you know.
What, I mean.
Again, if it would have been smooth sailing and easy, this is probably just a couple phone calls and da-da-da-da, and we put our cash up, I would have went that route.
Okay.
You know, and then, because there's, you know, don't forget, Lil Wayne, my guy, he had one of the biggest feature runs of any artist in history.
Oh, of course.
I mean, this man was on everybody. You couldn't really even release an album without him on it at one point, right?
No, he had to be on.
Just, so the people that this man would have brought out there
could have been insane. Could have been insane. I get it.
Absolutely insane. So
maybe they circle back. Maybe.
I think he will be a part of it if he wants to be a part of it. I think the calls have definitely been made. Whatever. We'll see.
There was enough noise made, right? But, you know, I'm going to speak in favor of Kendrick, though. The man puts on a show. He's a heck of a performer.
It's going to be great.
I flew out to L.A. to see his Big Steppers and Mr. Morale tour in L.A. He is a heck of a performer. He's going to definitely put on the show.
I don't think there's any question that this is going to not. This is not going to be a. It's going to be a fantastic halftime show.
Do you think Drake watches the halftime show? Do you think Drake watches the halftime show? Sure. You think so? Hate watches?
I don't think hate watches. I think people, and I don't know, and I've kind of, if I had to look at Drake's personality, I think people think that he takes this stuff far more seriously than he actually does.
I think. I will say yes and no to that, right? I think at this point now, it doesn't sting. I bet you it stung at first. I guarantee it stung at first. I guarantee that the Kendrick and Friends pop-out show, that stung him a bit. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. At the Super Bowl, probably not anymore, right? Because it's been out for a while. It's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, how many more times can you run this joke on me or whatever, you know? So I don't think it affects him, like, or stings him that. And I'm not saying take it serious in terms of, like, he's sad or running around, but, like, you know, I think initially it stung him. I do. I do.
I think we all, certainly he has an ego. So if you
have an ego, I think he probably thought he had, like, not untouchable or anything. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to put anything on the man, but I do think he probably felt that he had much more support or much more of like a invulnerability than what it turned out that he had. I think.
I think everybody of that capacity at that level, even at half that level, you have to have an ego.
Of course. Right. It's like sports.
Right. So he has ego. So I think definitely ego. But I think what we have seen out of Drake for so long now is he's just an absolute strategic thinker. And I believe he's surrounded by that. And
I think he's a good businessman. He makes good business decisions.
I think it's just more than that. I think he also makes pretty good emotional decisions too, for the most part, right? As of all the things he has been through, because I've seen just a level of long-term thinking out of him, to where I feel like they're sitting in the room, they've assessed this thing, and they said, all right, this is the window this has.
But they had time. I don't think that happened initially. Because remember, Not Like Us, he dropped Not Like Us, like,
again,
an hour after Drake dropped his track.
There was this initial where I think they probably
said, it's like a fight. Like a boxing match.
I think it wasn't the fight. First of all, it wasn't the fight we even wanted.
No, we wanted to see J. Cole.
Yeah. And I think they were on tour. They were gassed up on the tour life and just having a freaking ball.
But you know, they wanted Kendrick to be on that song, and he told them no. Because he had been beefing with Drake since 2013.
Right. There's been, I think the beef is more.
I think it was more on Kendrick's side. I think Kendrick more or less was just like, once they did that whole control thing, and Drake was the only one that, like, emotionally, or not even emotionally, but like said something about it, like outwardly, that Kendrick was just like, oh, I ain't fooling with you then. You're not really about this life. You're too sensitive. And I think Kendrick just held on to that.
I don't even think it was that, bro.
Drake was the only one to, like, publicly, like, lament about Kendrick talking about, I'm coming after all y'all. I'm coming for the top spot. Like, it's not rap. It's rap. It's always that.
Sure. But I think it was a lot of the internal politics happening with the labels. Because, like, bro, it's like one big pie now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because all this consolidation. So, you remember, his deal finished up and all these. And where I saw a lot of people kind of getting probably, what I feel like what was happening in behind the scenes with people getting upset with them is probably realizing, like, okay, they're telling me I had $5 million for my project. Now they're telling me I got like one or two. But then, mind you, because we all under the same umbrella now, so you kind of see a little bit more where the pot is split. But then you're giving 50, right? So I got slashed from 5 to 1 or 2. He get 50, and then on top of that, and then he gets whatever you want. So it's like, I don't come in here, my department has been shaved and all these things. I think there were a lot of artists who just really was feeling like, yo, we are being hung out to dry. You are basically putting together whole mechanisms for this one man, and he's getting all this money and all this stuff, and, you know, hanging out with the top brass, and I can't get a phone call. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can imagine that's where the resentful, and then on top of that, it's like, you know, when you see him, like, hey, that's your dog,
yeah,
hey, got your back, but hey, bro, can you make a phone call for me? You know what I'm saying? I think where some people, you know, start to feel like, yo, like, I had a grand old amazing project. You probably did, but then you're in this building where it seems like nobody gives a damn.
All right, we're taking a quick break from Let's Talk. And normally, maybe we would have a sponsor here. I don't know. Maybe in the future. But for now, I hope you guys are enjoying Let's Talk. All right, so we're back from our break. And I want to wrap up the Kendrick and Drake discussion, right? And I, because I wanted to give my part of where I talk about Kendrick in terms of what he, you know, the show he's going to bring. And I think it's going to be a great show. I think he's going to have his hits. I he might bring out some guests. He, you know, I think it's going to be a phenomenal show. And I hope that in the future there'll be a place for Wayne, because I'm a Wayne fan and he has hits after hits. His discography is off the chain.
Yeah,
it's just not helping that he got a couple of bad videos out there recently of performances where, I don't know, man, maybe he had too much sauce
I coming out. You, I don't know. Every major artist that's been around for like 20 years, I have a bunch of those videos. Oh. I mean, listen, the and I love Drake, right? There's a lot of videos that he does that are not very inspiring. There's a lot of, like, performances that are not very inspiring.
Well, I mean, in terms of rap performances, right? Like, yeah, you ain't going to get much. But I will say that I think Kendrick is a better performer than Drake.
Probably. Who knows?
Artist, general artist, I'll give it to Drake. Rapper, Kendrick. All day,
sure. Yeah, that's why I said, like, I don't, the Drake versus Kendrick was not what I wanted to see.
Well, J. Cole. So we haven't touched J. Cole. Okay, so J. Cole, if you heard, and he dropped a song where he basically was talking about, which is so funny, right? The man drops like a 3-minute track and people only talk about like 15 seconds of it, and it's him basically saying like, oh, I could have went to war, but I would have lost a bro and all this stuff like that. And everybody's just kind of like, boo, raspberries, like, shut up. Nobody wants to hear that. Yeah. You lost. You took the L. Eat it. Move on. Is that what you think?
I don't think he'll ever see it as taking an L, and I have to agree with him, because he's just like, yo, like, this is just not what I'm here for. Like, because there's a mature part of me, right, that didn't care about this beef, right, at all, because it was kind of like,
oh, you're like, the cool guy. Like, I cared about it. It was hilarious to me.
I don't give a damn about this stuff. Like, can y'all make some good music? And I think that's where his career was like, bro, like, we millionaires out here, bro. Like, we good. We made it. Like, we're out the hood. Like, I don't care.
But that doesn't go to the heart of rap, though. That rap is still a competition.
I,
at the end of the day,
I think for
everybody wants the crown, no?
I think for some of us in our generation, it was like that growing up, right?
But that's supposed to be the foundation of rap, though. Like, the battle, kind of battle rap.
I don't think it's like that anymore.
What is it like then? Because, I mean, what's, like, not what's the point, but just, you know, because you get on, you have certain types of rappers, right? You got your conscious rappers, you got your, you know, your braggadocious rappers, you got your drug dealing, crack rapping rappers.
Precisely.
And, but it's the braggadocious rappers are the one that are always talking about the crown. Right, and that's why there was always that little bit of beef back in the day between Jay-Z and Wayne, because it was all about who was the best out at that time.
Precisely, I think what we've seen right now, it is the rap scene has evolved from that. It's almost,
so what is it now? Influencer rap?
Like, it might be. I can't necessarily define it right now to you, but I definitely don't think that's not where we're at with it, bro.
Like, well, but I mean, you're talking about two guys though that were influenced by the rap that's coming up, you know,
sure,
in terms of, you know, because for me, it was always my big three, honestly. Like, the song was so hilarious to me because my big three really was Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole. And then my asterisk was Big Sean. Like, those were my guys. That was my rotation. True. For, like, the 2010 or 2009 to, like, 2013. Those were my guys.
Yeah, but...
Adding, sprinkling just, some Wale.
It just turned out that one of them just really didn't care for it. He's just like, oh, hey, fam.
No,
like,
no. You cannot say that. Because J. Cole was always talking about, I'm the best out. I'm this.
Sure.
I'm that. I'm the best, years, like, y'all can't years. Write like me, like, y'all not spitting like me.
And a lot of folks wasn't. Listen,
they were.
In years of mine, now he's at the point, like, yeah, maybe he has $100 million in the bank account.
You can't get mad at the fans, though, for when we have this moment where it looks like, because honestly, let's be real, the juicy part wasn't Drake and Kendrick. The juicy part was, how does Kendrick and J. Cole, how is that going to work? Because right, they're both rappers, like rappers. You know what I mean?
No, listen. That's why I said that I was with this particular rap beef. I was really turned off by it because I just didn't care to see.
You wouldn't.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't care. Yo, this may sound weird. I would have cared to have seen a Drake versus like a Jay-Z. Even as weird as it sounded, right? More than I
That's care. Interesting.
It is interesting. It is. It's far more interesting to me than the Kendrick versus Drake. Because it was just kind of like, fam, this dude, it's like the soccer player versus the, it's just a totally.
No, I don't think so. Because they came from the same era. They came from the same era.
They did, but.
They were both put on by heavyweights in the game.
It just wasn't. I think Drake to me just made a misstep because you allowed somebody to take you out of your comfort.
Well, yeah, but is that not battle though? That's strategy. Yeah, that's war.
That's where he lost in terms of like you lost in terms of the strategy. You should have just been like, you know what I'm saying, and like continue on with your
tour. Or drop the one track and then been done with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have dropped anything because I didn't even think.
No, but he had to respond because at this point in time, if you think about it, quote unquote, like. Outside of the Pusha T beef, which in a way Drake was washing him, the only thing Pusha T got, and I like Pusha T, and I think he's a fantastic rapper, mm-hmm. is that he had the shock value, and that's what won ultimately, won.
I just didn't battle, think he...
but generally Drake is like Drake can rap. Drake,
I think if you can go back in time, what that initial salve, that initial shot that Kendrick took, to me was like he was barely.
Yeah, whatever. It was there
and. If he could go back in time, he wouldn't have responded at all.
Maybe. I don't know. But I felt like he had to because his ego at that point.
Yeah,
at
the same time, what got, I think Drake, I think, that's what, that's
I think
what got
this
him.
Is not the Drake from before. I think the Drake we have now is a guy that's done it all. He is, I'm one away from Michael, dude, beat it.
I think, and as strange as it may sound, I think it may make him a little bit less secure than he was before.
Oh, of course. Of course. I think that... It's going to always be there a little bit, I think. It's, you know, and it's not even the fact that he lost. It's just, it's the fact, I guess maybe it's the how or the, like, I like let's be real. Like, whether you like not like us or you don't, whatever, how that song hit, and I think people have talked about this, like, it was more of the fact that, like, Kendrick produced this L.A. track. That's pure LA. It's regional. I got the city behind me. I got the hood behind me. Drake don't have that.
Sure, it just kind of...
You know what I mean?
It just came out of right time. You know, just... It just...
Bro, I was at a party. Or, like, I was at, like, at a... not a party, but I was, like, at an event. There was music playing. All of a sudden, the phone... I think we was in the group together. Just like, ding, ding, ding. He dropped another one. I was like, No, he dropped one, like, right now. And I'm at the party like this on my phone. Like,
yeah, it was, trying it was to listen. Because I was in New Orleans during this. And there's a block party outside, and that was like the hottest song being played. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how. I think we'll see how. I mean, a year is a long time. Let's see what 2025 brings.
Oh God, I don't even know because unless Cat Williams opens another door of negativity to start off. Well,
let's 2025 November. He's been prophetic. I mean. Yeah,
you got to tell him no.
He was prophetic. I mean, there was a power that went out to. There's a power that went out into the world when he got on, and I think, what, 100 million people might now watch that.
Opened a door of negativity that we have not recovered.
I can't even say it's a door of negativity. He sent out some energy out there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of folks.
It's been up and on site the whole year. I think
there's a lot of folks that, you know, really need to, they're trying to see the end of 2025. And hopefully they're not the ones. Because he sent out some waves out there.
Yeah, he did something, but.
In the universe.
Anyway, all right. So let's move on. What are you listening to right now? What are you listening to?
I'm probably not the best person to ask what I'm listening to because I'm all over the place. And
so what's in your head right now? If you get in your car right now, what you throwing on?
Yo, I've been listening to a lot of like house Afro beats.
Not Amapiano, right? That's not it?
Nah, so it's like house music with Afro beats.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been listening to like a lot of like long mixes. You know, and I'm people don't notice about me. Like I've been going to house parties, not as people, you know, not like, you know, somebody's having a house party, like an actual house music parties for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, no, that's actually trance. I don't have
trance. Do that. Okay.
But like actual like house.
Oh, house like the, yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. So like I used to listen to like Justice and, you know, a lot of these like, you know, underground artists. Like I used to go like, you know, these parties for like, man, even I used to go to like a block party in Brooklyn like almost every other year. That was, you know, my thing. And then so now I've been listening to like a lot of like hip hop mixed with that, or like Afro beats mixed with that. Yeah. So like, and there was, so like you might get in my car and like hear me like listen to a whole DMX mix.
Hey,
that was mixed by like a DJ, you know what I'm saying? And it's like his whole catalog. So I'll
that's dope.
You hear me listen to stuff like that. So but I do like the latest from Future. I do like that new album from Big X the Plug.
I gotta hear that. I didn't know he dropped that.
Man, you know what? Again, this is why he was like, oh, we don't need the labels. Yes, we do, because you need quality.
Yeah.
People forget, like, you know how much BS you gotta go through on them playlists before you find some quality.
Yeah.
Like his production,
of course,
quality. Like they put some money. He spent his money well. Like the production on the album was really good.
Yeah. So one, thank you for saying something about Future, because I tried to like say something about Future's mixtape Pluto. I tried to say something about that to folks, and they like met me like with like, "Are you listening to Future?"
Because
I was like,
mixed bag.
Right, he is.
So mixed bag.
It is. I wasn't a fan of the last project, not too much. Like that was on there, but that was like the like one or two standouts. But mixtape Pluto sounds like Dirty Sprite 2.
Yeah, he get, but
Future to me.
But also Dirty Sprite's Future is also, you're gonna get some good stuff, but you're also gonna get like, oh, this track is fire, but he's also on that thing like,
yeah, he on one. He on one. But I tell you what though, it's a great album to like drive to. It's a great album to work out to.
It's a dope album.
It's like a good one you can just like you don't have to if you ain't listening for bars or like, you know, structure, if you just listen to something you can bob your head to. Like, I'm like, I'm with this. I can mess with this. I don't need you singing to the ladies and all that. Like, just rap about what you've been rapping about. I like it. I'm with it. Or whatever it is. Singing out. Because there's one part you go, man.
Yeah, he definitely, like I mean, now he said it, you know, he just be locked job whatever he's on at that time. And so trying to rap the locked job, but yeah. So he's a mixed bag, too. He's a mixed bag.
But I was happy that he put this together. Because, like, the first two tracks, I was like, okay, all
right. I'm happy to see him surviving through the, you know,
remember,
through the woke movement right now. We have a lot of feminism stuff going on, and, you know, he's a known.
He's a known, like,
womanizer.
Yeah, he's like the Kevin Samuels of, like, rap, like, basically. Yeah, no, you know, I think he's somebody that just knows to stay in his lane, and he don't do too much. He don't speak too much, you know what I mean? Like, he's almost, like, old school in the way that, like, you don't know too much about how he moves and stuff out of his relationships, but other than that, like, you don't really, how you move.
It's probably the best.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think there's that one video where he was, like, at a house. There was a young lady at, like, the pool, and she was like, "I'm here for you," and he was like, "Nah, you here for us."
Yeah, like, yeah. I think
it's probably 100% for the best.
100%. I think everybody needs to adopt that. I don't like knowing all this stuff about the artists.
Well, we know too much about each other.
We don't want to, you know, I don't need to know.
Everybody ain't supposed to be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with people. People going to the party and doing all this stuff. Like, you're not supposed, you know.
You ain't.
This is why you don't get invited. Yeah. Sir, you talk too much.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You ain't supposed to be telling us about the party. All
right. So let's jump into politics. Yeah, so you brought up something interesting. And for everybody that's listening, I'm a huge Kamala Harris fan. I've been one since 2019. OG K Hyde. And I am 100% thrilled at the way that they've been running their campaign. They raised $1 billion in 3 months. $1 billion in 3 months. Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah.
And how it's been going, I mean, this campaign is going to be studied for a long time. Because usually when you run for president, you're running for president for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're running for president for 3.5 months.
Yeah.
And she's in position to pull this thing off. And we just had some news this morning, or this morning, right? Go ahead.
You're right. Yeah, she's gonna be speaking with Bret Baier on Fox. I'm 50-50 on that move.
I'm 100% in. I mean, it's going to their turf. Like I love going to somebody's turf. I will meet you where you're at and show you.
And she has
better than I can tell you.
She has been doing that. I don't think it's necessary. I think this is coming out of the criticism that she's been playing it too safe. You know,
I can see that.
And I don't give a damn how this sounds, but yeah, folks are getting very concerned that perhaps she was spending too much time with Hillary.
No, I don't think so. She got some advice, and I mean, why not? I don't see nothing wrong with that. I mean,
yeah, I hear you. I don't think
she's spending too much time with.
But this is the criticism that's been kind of being out there because you know, Democrats. One thing with us, man, you know, and I guess I'll say I identify myself as a Democrat mostly, right? You know, the thing that I hate about this side is that man, folks be quick to panic. Hit the panic button, like, just hit, like, relax.
Yeah, we just like the soldier through. Like, this is our plan. This is what we're doing. Let's go.
And folks were like, oh, the red wave is coming. And, you know, the Democrats just hit the, I'm like, yo, do y'all not talk to y'all neighbors? Do y'all not see what's on the ballot? Do y'all not see this massive wave of first-time registrations of women? You know, who do you think is not big? She hasn't asked big donors for money because who do you think gave the money?
Mm.
People are just not. You think they're just handing their money, not handing their votes in?
Yeah.
No. This is coming, and I'm not. This is the first time in my life I'm not scared to call something. I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, we're gonna come back. I'm calling it too because I'm a believer. I truly believe. I believe. We're gonna win this thing. On election night, I don't know what's gonna happen the next day.
I'm not going to sleep. I went to sleep during the Hillary situation, and I woke up.
I don't even know how to feel.
I want to sleep with a bad feeling too when I'm during the Hillary
situation. Ooh, we all did.
No, I really called my dad. I said, "Hey, you know, I don't know about this one. I'm going to sleep, but I don't think."
I was at a victory party for somebody who was running for judge, and they won, and they had the TVs on. And when I saw that Pennsylvania went for Trump in 2016, I was like, "Oh, that's it." I was like, that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
Because
Pennsylvania hadn't went red in 20 years.
I felt like it wasn't Pennsylvania. It was just at the time like, oh, some of these states that she should really have had in the bag were taking so long to come back in.
The night before the election, they had like a midnight rally in Philadelphia. That lets you know something is wrong.
No, yeah, I remember that, right? They were like 2 days before the election. Yeah. It was all of a sudden she was jumping on planes and rushing to go have rallies, and I'm like, oh no, something came back bad. So, So what I see happening right now is just this massive movement right now, and yeah, for sure things are going to be studied. If she pulls this off, things are going to be studied for sure.
Insane.
And I also think that you know, folks have been asking for a different party. For a long time, what I see happening is in this situation, if Trump loses, you may see you may see a willowing effect here where I think it may even end up changing the face of the Democratic Party because you're gonna have so many people who are disaffecting from it, and I think what's gonna have to happen here in order for them to survive, and I do believe with the Republican Party, you cannot remain at the 40%.
No.
Because they're stuck. Because them losing this time would mean you're stuck at the 40%. If you're stuck at the 40%, you're going to lose a lot of elections.
But see, that's why I think you have a lot of Republicans that are endorsing Kamala Harris because they want their party back. I think they are like, we've had enough of this. And if you think about it, and this is not even me trying to be anti-Trump. Like, I don't, people have a choice. They have a right to vote for whoever they want to vote for. That's whether you like their choice or not. Agreed. That's their choice, right? But since 2016, the only thing Trump has won is that election.
Yeah, they're gonna ask
him. He has not won Senate seats, really. He's got a couple, but in places where he was supposed to win it, but he didn't win the one in Alabama. That went to a Democrat, but, you know, they wound up winning it later. But, like, there were congressional races where he had candidates that lost in primaries. Like, the man has lost a lot. And that's bad for business. That's bad for the Republican Party. And
they're locking in their people, and the rhetoric is simply closing the door behind. Mm-hmm. See, there's a thing I've said to people. You can dissent, but you can't dissent to such a degree where you do not leave any ground for any other opinion. So now they're locking in and they're closing. I think what you're going to see is happening is that someone's going to have, if they lose, someone in the Republican Party is going to have enough finesse, enough charisma, enough strength to rally other donors behind them, because they're going to need those donors, the big time donors.
I think they're there, though. I think the donors are there.
And somebody's going to have to say, we're done. We're going this way now, and you need to come with me now.
You have a lot of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies that are refusing to endorse Trump. They did before, but they're not now, because some of the stuff that they're talking about is bad for their business. It's raising taxes. It's like the GDP will explode.
The tariffs are wild.
Yeah. So it's like you have all these business folks that are kind of like, yeah, no, that's not that. So they might not even be giving money to anyone. They might just be holding it. And I think what's happening is those Republicans, like, they're not stupid. These Republicans, these prominent Republicans, or these Republicans that have future political ambitions are endorsing Harris because they can see the writing on the wall.
Well, he's even not getting money. That's where the grifts are coming from.
Yeah, exactly. What did you say? What?
That's where the grifts are coming from.
The fake Rolex watches, the grift, Trump Bibles made in China.
They're just, hey, get us as much stuff I can put my name on. And this is how you can give me money. That's what's happening.
The Trump cards, trading cards.
Yo, that Trump cards are so wild. You know what's so wild about them? I would never get one. You know, they would. He makes money off of the purchase of them and the sale of them. Even if you lose money on it. So let's say you bought it for like $15 and you're only able to sell it for like $10. He still gets a piece of that.
It's ingenious.
The NFT shit is wild. So I just think, like, you're gonna see a transition. And so if somebody's not able to successfully do that, say, I have, this is you, we are at this ledge, turn from this ledge now and come to this other land, right? If they don't do that, you're going to see this MAGA thing kind of live longer than Trump.
What's interesting about that is, and friends of mine have talked about this, we were talking about this at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, is that Florida, of course, is going to be the testing ground or the bellwether test if MAGA can live, because 2026, we're going to have a gubernatorial election. And you have a couple of folks on the Republican side who are going to run who people would consider MAGA loyalists, if you will.
Sure.
So what does that election look like in a post-Trump world? I don't know. Trump go quietly into the night? I don't think so.
This is not a state to be a bellwether.
It's going to be, though. No, but I think it's fascinating, though, because you will have folks, though, that are Republicans that they're done with MAGA. They don't want MAGA to be a thing anymore because of how disastrous it's been for their party.
Sure.
So you will have that struggle there. You will.
Yeah.
So it'll be curious to see how that translates, because it will be one of the first elections in a state as big, you know, a state as big and as important as Florida is, where this is going to go down.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fascinating. Fascinating to see. So, anyway, Kamala Harris is going to interview with Bret Baier. I'm 100% in on that. Whether it changes minds or not, I think it's important, because this is the same network where they be calling her dumb and they call her all these different things.
I'm going to go and I'm going to show y'all. And then the one thing that, even for me, when I ran for office and I ran against an incumbent, I would go out of my way to talk to people that I knew did not support me or weren't going to vote for me, because I wanted your word of mouth, meaning you would go and talk to somebody else. And maybe you don't say that you're voting for me, but then maybe you're not saying bad things about me either. Like, in terms of like, you know, I'm not going to support him, but you know, he had a couple of good ideas. Right. Do you know what that does? That little bit of just hesitation.
It just,
that's not about picking up votes. I think at this point, people have made up their minds, they're going to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go on there because at the end of the day, my message has been pitched to everybody. And there may still be Republicans who are looking at this and they're watching Fox News. They can't stomach MSNBC. It's too liberal. Or CNN, whatever. They watch Fox News. It's a part of their life. And they see Kamala Harris on TV. And you think about how many people are receiving or dealing with or receiving information about Kamala through other filters.
Yeah.
Not necessarily her herself. And I want people to see that. I want them to see that. So they can, oh, she does word salad. She can't put sentences together. She's this. She sees all that. And then here she is on this network that has not been very kind to her.
Sure.
Go ahead, have at it.
Yeah.
And let me show you who I really am. And for me, maybe I don't pick anything up. Maybe it's a pride thing. Maybe it's a again, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you type of thing. And
yeah, I'll say anybody, if you're out there saying that this lady can't put two sentences together, like I just really can't take you as a credible person at this point. I don't care how that's who you are. It's just, you know, so this person who has a law degree and all these things, he just can't put two sentences together. Fine. There's nothing I can say to you after that, right? You don't need to watch that interview. You're only going to sit yourself. You don't need to watch it. So I just know I've seen, you know, Brett Baer do a lot of presidents and presidential candidates. I do know he for the most part, he's pretty fair. He doesn't let things go. He doesn't let you kind of circumvent or talk around certain things. So I guess it'll be interesting to see how she takes on that as a challenge. I mean, certainly she's shown as someone who is going into hostile territory, she does know how to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she low-key likes that. I think she kind of likes that. You know, it wakes you up. You know, it's not comfortable. It activates.
I think the only thing I would give her advice, now that she's gonna listen to my advice,
but hey man, she might hear this.
She might.
Kamala,
I don't let your team like undersell like the importance of your presence. Like, get that lighting right. Like, Danny, you know what I'm saying? Like, get it right, because certain things like that. Like, now make sure that you look as good as you're supposed to look, right? And don't get them. You know, don't think that's an afterthought, because I think there are sometimes like they do a disservice like that. You know,
because
Trump, you know, that's the number one thing for him. He makes sure that thing is right. I think your team.
Well, his person that usually does his Tanner took the day off that one day.
Because she's been excellent when that stage presence has been great. Because she's already going to deliver a good message, so I think it's going to be good. But
let's see. We're going to see, man. Exciting times for sure.
Let me just say this.
Might need to do an election night coverage if you're around, man.
I'll be around, but let me just say this. I don't know about everybody else, but I am tired of living in unprecedented times.
Every conversation, we are living in unprecedented times. Unprecedented times.
Let this 2024, let it be done.
I want our, and I am in government. I am a politician. I want our government to go back to being quiet. Like, it's supposed to be like a car. You turn your car on, you don't hear anything. It just runs. And you
Biden
get
was
and
quiet
you
for a while.
He was.
And just started getting noisy this election. And it was a nice piece.
It was quiet.
This last
first,
year,
that
it
first
got,
couple of, the first like year and a half,
yeah,
two years,
it got
quiet.
You know,
it was.
Golly, I mean, now it's just like this year has just been one. I mean, I'm like, my God,
one thing after another. I'm telling you, it's Cat Williams' fault. All right, so let's close this out. Let's close out our first podcast. We didn't get into sports. We don't really need to. We can talk about that a little bit later. There's a lot going on. WNBA finals are happening right now between the Liberty and the Lynx. That's an exciting matchup. The Cowboys got the dog crap kicked out of them the other day. I mean, going to a home game now and Jerry Jones' world is like, it's not a great time if you're a Cowboys fan. And the fact that they got their butts kicked on Jerry Jones' birthday is hilarious. I'm sorry.
Ravens defense looking.
Now, Ravens looking pretty decent. I know they lost. They dropped the two games. I guess we're talking about sports now. They dropped the two games. But, man, they might be one of them teams that roll into postseason.
They're looking like
good. If they unleash Derrick Henry on the Chiefs.
They're looking pretty good. They might.
Because they might have figured out how to use Derrick Henry now because they weren't. But Lamar's gaming right now. Derrick Henry is like a man amongst, I mean, a god amongst mortals.
Stay healthy, guys.
Yeah, you know, but you can't sleep on the Chiefs. They're just, they got that winning pedigree, whatever it is. I don't know. They got it. It's like the Patriots. You just couldn't stop them for whatever reason back in the day. But, I mean, I think it's between the Chiefs and the Ravens for the AFC crown, man.
Yeah.
Well, Texans is kind of there, but you never know. I mean, that's why you play the game, but.
I think it's really cool that we're now talking about the WNBA these days.
I think so, too.
That was never a thing.
I think so, too, man.
Kudos to them.
It's everybody. It ain't just Caitlin Clark. And I know, you know, sometimes I feel like she gets too much because white supremacists wanted her to be their avatar of racism. But she ain't even on it. She's just some person that wants to play ball. And she's good at it. And, you know what I mean? She ain't asked for those things that was thrown on her. You know, Angel Reese, she got that Dennis Rodman flair to her in terms of, like, the personality. You know what I mean? Like, ain't nothing wrong with the barking and talking. Like, dudes do it all the time. Don't they?
What the NBA did, they figured out we got some stars. And we got some
wild. And they leaning into it.
And they leaned into it. And guess what? When it came time to clean up, they did clean up, too.
Listen, hey, the WNBA, I can't wait to see what their profits look like from this year. They're already talking about expanding the finals next year, the tournament next year for them. And, like, you know, like, and I hope they can get a couple more teams out of this. I think they get a team back down here. I know they have one.
How about y'all, WNBA folks, before y'all go on that, get y'all salaries together.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, it's good. Y'all on private jets now, but look at them paychecks.
Get that paycheck
forget,
right.
Forget the private jets. Forget all this fashion, all that. Look at them checks.
Yeah, well, you know, some of them start, you know, Angel Reese came out of LSU making cash. Kayla Clark came out, the NIL deal was helpful.
Now, that's all I can say is stay focused. You know
who I'm waiting to see, though? I think I might be like a super fan of. I ain't going to lie. Juju Watkins out of USC.
Okay.
She's like 6'2", maybe. Guard, give me kind of like mellow vibes a little bit, but just more, but can play more inside too. Like she is like a baller, like ball. I think she's got like a crazy Nike deal. Yeah, that's my.
I gotta commit to watching more WNBA.
Yeah. But listen, man, football season is exciting. Baseball season is rounding. I ain't gonna sit here and say that I can speak much about baseball too much, but. I have been watching Shohei Ohtani. I think I might be a fan. I might have to get my first Dodgers jersey because that dude is legit. He's like a transformer. Man, like 6'6", huge Japanese kid that can absolutely hit. So, I don't know. We'll see what's going on with all that. But, hey, final word, man. What's your final word for this?
I think I gave it earlier. Let's just get through this to the end of the year and let's close the book on these unprecedented times.
Well, for me, my final word is, man, we rounding into the holiday season. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Mm. When it seems that everybody kind of sheds a little bit of that negativity and angst and anger, that's one of the things I'm hoping to see disappear and kind of go in. I think a lot of it has been driven by the presence of this negative politicking that we've seen. Like, that's weird to say because politics ain't never really seen as, like, clean or whatever, but, like, just a way of, like, we're hearing all this negative words about the country, about other people, of calling people scum. Like, just things you ain't never heard of.
It's kind of nasty.
I can't wait for that to go away. I ain't saying everybody got to be kumbaya. I ain't never been like that. But I wanted to get back to some civility. And so I'm happy to see this holiday season coming up because that's when people shed it. So that was our final word. This is our first podcast. Let's talk. My man Jermaine, a.k.a. BB, if you his friend. If you not, got to call that man Jerome.
Right?
And I'm Joshua Simmons. We are checking out. See y'all next time. Peace. All right, y'all.
Peace.